Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. I get to thinking about how often he's been there for me and how many times I've not been there for him. This is where my heart's at tonight. I practiced this Wednesday night in revival on them down there, and I didn't have it. It wasn't that I didn't have the message. I didn't have all of it. I preached it in part. About 5:30 this morning, the Lord gave me what I wish I'd have had Wednesday night. But see, it wasn't Wednesday night. I think I had what Wednesday night needed. And today, I think I've got what we need today. And I'm glad His bread is fresh every day, aren't you? I'm in Psalm 119 is where I'm at today. And I pray this will help you. And God will use it. I pray that He'll just... We need the fire around here. We need a filling. We need an anointing. We need the unction of God. We need a stirring in our spirit. We need the power. We need the power of God. I'm afraid that a lot of us, I'll include myself in this, we feel like this fella, like the writer of this particular psalm. And I'm going to preach this morning on a bottle in the smoke. Psalm 119, verses 81, 82, and 83. Psalm 119, verses 81, 82, and 83, longest chapter in the Bible. If you found that, shout amen for me. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Father, wholly dependent on you today, Lord. God, help me today. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me in the bounds of the writ. Lord, do it for your glory. God, you must increase, I must decrease. Lord, just put us in the shadow somewhere. Holy Ghost, come by, do in the place today what only you can do. Lord God, touch us in your spirit and your power. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, touch our church. Touch me. Touch our people, Lord. God, help us see. Lord, sometimes we feel like that bottle in the smoke. Help us and use us today, God, for your glory. I praise you for everything that's done. I pray in the King's name, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some wonder who the writer of this psalm is. They say the author is unknown. I say, well, the author's the Holy Ghost. But the man that penned it on the page, we're not real sure about. Some think it might have been Jeremiah. Others say it's one of the men that came out of Babylonian captivity. I kind of think it was David. You read Psalm 19 and then you come over and you read Psalm 119, there's just a lot of phrases in there that remind me one of the other, and you can tell most writers by his pen. If anyone knew anything about this, seeking for the salvation of the Lord and having a difficult time and feeling like a bottle in the smoke, I think David would qualify for all three of them. Now, if David wasn't the writer, I think there's something we can do here today. I think each one of us in this room can put ourselves in the place of this person in these three verses. Verse 81 is this, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. He's talking about his soul fainting. He's speaking about his vitality. Hey, my life, I'm going out. I am down. I need some help here. Hey, I'm in a bad way. That word salvation there is not necessarily what we use in the New Testament for being saved, though it's one and the same. It means this, to rescue them. So here he is. His vitality is slipping. I'm fainting in my soul. I need somebody to rescue me. Who might that be? I'm going to hope in your word. Now, the hope is the trusting. That's easy to say. And it's hard to do. Listen, you don't need to trust whenever when there's a fat cow in the stall and the refrigerator's full and all the bills are paid. There's not a problem. There's no trust in that. The trusting comes when my soul's fainting. Hallelujah! I need rescued. I need some help. Hey, that's trust. That's real hope. Are you with me? I'm not trying to lose you. But in verse 82, we see this. Mine eyes fail me for thy word. Huh? What's failing? His vision. His vitality's failing. And though he's trusting, and his vision is failing. And it's failing at this. Because how do you know that? Why would his vision be failing? Here's the evidence of the failed vision. When? When you going to rescue me? When you going to change my situation? When you going to do what your word said you would do? I've been waiting a long time. I've not seen any change. Hey, this thing's got worse than I thought it would be. And here I am. What you going to do? When you going to do it? I want to know the time you're going to do it. Why do you think this might have been David? Because don't you know when his father-in-law tried to kill him 3 times and he's running around there hiding in the cave, he might have been thinking, hey, Lord, when you going to do this? And you know when he done it? 10 years later, he done it. 10 years? I don't know about waiting 10 years. David waited 10 years. He's out there in the wilderness. He's hiding in caves. He's got a bunch of discouraged and disgruntled people with him. And for 10 years, Paul, he's out there wondering, what in the world am I doing? I think David wrote this, and I could be wrong. But I think it's applicable to us here today. Hey, Lord, I'm fainting. I'm fainting here. Oh, I'm still trusting. But I need to know the time. When you going to do it? I don't believe you ought to ask that. Praise God, the writer of the book asked it. You think you're better than he is? No. We ask it. When you going to do it, Lord? When? Tomorrow? Huh? I think you're going to do it tomorrow. And then it comes 2 months from then and you go, well, it ain't done it yet. Verse 83. We see the vexing. His vitality is failing. His vision, listen, he's fainting. He needs rescued. His vision has disappeared. He needs a time. He's wanting to know when you're going to do this. When, Lord? And here's what he says. Here's the vexing. The smoke. Because I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, in 2012, I taught on this. On Sunday night, I went through all of Psalm 119, 8 verses per night on Sunday nights. I've done that. And it took a long time to get through all those. But we made it through. And one night I touched on this bottle in the smoke, but I didn't preach it. I just kind of touched on it. So you that were here already know what this is in reference to. But some of you don't. I had a lady tell me the other night after I preached, I came back the next night. She said, I didn't understand one thing you preached last night. That'll make you feel good. So I said, what didn't you understand? She said, none of it. I didn't understand anything. So in 10 minutes, I tried to expound on my entire message. And she said she understood it. I think she just tried to make me feel better. But there's some things that Bible students know. We take for granted often that you've read the Bible every day for the last 10 years. And you understand what the Bible says when in reality, not very many people read it every day. The bottle in the smoke is simply this. It's a skin. They took an animal and they peeled the skin off that thing and they dried the outside and they seasoned it down. They got it to to where it was dried and it would hold liquid, and then they turned it wrong side out and the hair would be on the outside. Inside the skin is just the skin, less the animal, and they tied the legs off and they tied the neck off, and whenever they wanted to, and they filled that thing up with liquid. And when they wanted to drink, they untied a leg or a neck. And they done it in a small one, it's hard to get it off the big ones. But they wanted to do it on a small kid so they could sling that thing over their shoulder, Brother Danny, and it wasn't no big deal. They could carry the liquid inside the skin. But our translators called it a bottle. It's a hide. We understand the bottle today. The early Easterner would have understood this. When they used the Hebrew word there for skin, they knew exactly what they were talking about. It's like if I was to go back in time and say, text message, the Hebrew guy would go. Everyone in this room knows what that is. I say, the translator said a bottle, trying to bring it up in the English language so we could understand. It's a skin. But what they've done with this thing is, here's what occurred. They hung it up. When they hung it in their dwelling, it hung in a higher place. They remained on, they eat on the floor, they slept on the floor, they reclined. When they said they were at a table, they didn't sit at a table in chairs. By the way, I'm about to ruin some theology in a good song, but Jews didn't use napkins. The thing on his face in the tomb was a face cloth. I've turned that upside down trying to prove myself wrong on that. So we get, sometimes we misunderstand, and we do. So here's, they're doing everything down here low on the floor, and up high, above in the smoke, they'd hang their water bottle, or their wine skins, or whatever it was they're going to refresh themselves with. They would hang it up, and as the smoke rose from the fire inside the dwelling, the tent, if you will, that's where most of them live. When they would do that, that smoke would rise up and it would come and it would cover that bottle. And so that bottle was there. And all the time that bottle's getting introduced to something that's not natural to it. It don't like it. And so if we understand that, if that can typify the world, we're like the bottle in the smoke. And the smoke rises up. Well, the one thing that smoke does is it makes the bottle dirty. It puts soot on it. And so there's the bottle in the smoke, and it's getting something on it. It doesn't really want it on it. Hey, listen, it doesn't prefer to have that on it. It's actually discolored it. It don't look like it once did, but it's got some stuff on it. You know what it's easy to do in ministry? And if you're a layman in the pew that don't do anything but pay your tithes and shout amen, and I would that you shouted amen more than you do. But you get stuff on you. You get something on you. And you'd rather that you didn't get it on you, but you do. And you open your mouth and somebody knows you got something on you. And most of the time, it's on you. Oh, God, help me right here. Most of the time, it's on you somewhere where you can't see it yourself, but everybody around you can see it. I can't tell you times I've walked in a place and somebody come up to me and go, hey, you got something on you right there. I go, well, get it off. Glory to God. The skin's hanging in the smoke. Now the smoke's coming up and the smoke's just doing what smoke does. Makes stuff dirty. You still with me? I'm going to help you right here in a minute. I'm telling you, this will bless somebody that's been backslid for 3 years. It'll help you. Here's this thing. And it's getting dirty. Number two, here's what happens in the smoke. It dries it out. There it is. It's not only dirty, but now it's dry.
I pray to God we don't get dry around here. When we get to where these are gone, and we've not been stirred in our spirit in a long time, we need to get in a closet with the Holy Ghost and beg Him to replenish our tears. Dryness is the next thing to deadness. Now it all begins if you leave what's on you dirty too long. Look, just staying in the smoke. I'm just a bottle in the smoke. Lord, I don't want to be here. I didn't intend to be here. I got put here. I didn't ask to be put here. But here I am. God, I am like a bottle in the smoke. I got something on me. Let me help you right here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A-double-L. All. 1 John 1 and 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now friend, that's big. That's big. That's saying that everybody I'm looking at right now and the guy doing the preacher's got some sin. So what do we do about that? Well, He said, I would that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, we bring that to Him. You know what? I don't think we're bringing it to Him. Because when you start bringing that stuff to Him, you know what happens? The dam breaks! And the water starts flowing. And the dryness disappears. The psalmist said this. Let me find it right here. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Psalm 68 said the rebellious dwell in a dry land. They're comfortable there. They don't like the water. But Psalm 63 and 1, this is David. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. I need a drink. I need to be flexible. I don't need to get dry and hard. God's taught me something about grace through myself this year. It's been a hard lesson learned. We all like to receive it. We ain't much on giving it. I'll make up my point with this. Because if somebody does something to one of your kids, the grace is out the window. But I've done something real bad to God's son. I caused his death. And he commended his love toward me in that while I was yet a sinner. Yeah, he gave me grace, brother. He showed me myself a few times this year and I did not like what I see. And I've been trying to get back in the room. I want God to purge me. I don't want to think wrong. I don't be upset at anybody. Listen, I don't want... And you know what ministry does? It dries you out. It'll do it. Number three. Watch this. This is our personal condition. I want you considering this. The personal condition. Mike McCoy's condition. Dirty. Dry. Lord, I'm longing for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. I'm longing for Thee. Why? Because He's the water. And the water softens the skin. You don't have to worry about it cracking and spilling what's on the inside, getting used up or used out when it's on the inside. Listen, when the skin is pliable. Because there's something on the inside that's not on the outside. It's not that skin that's important. It's the content the skin that He's concerned about. He didn't save this body. He saved my soul. And He's got to put this thing in a brand new body one day.
And my problem is with this body. And I feel like a bottle in the smoke. Number three, under the personal condition. Dirty. Got anything on you this morning? Be honest. You got anything on you? Right now, you're thinking about something. Two, under personal condition. Are you dried out? Skipping service that used to really convict you in your soul and just hurt you in your heart, easy to do without even a second thought. Number three, here's what hanging up there does. A bottle and a smoke, just hanging there, can't get anything done. You know why? Defeated. That's what dryness leads to, defeat. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what that bottle... God, show me that. Thank you. That bottle can't do one thing on its own. All it can do is hang there. It's got to have somebody else to take it down and clean it off and carry it wherever it goes. And when he needs a drink out of it, he just squeezes that skin and the juice begins to flow out. It's got to be on the inside. It's got to be on the inside. If I'm dirty, dry, and defeated, it is not Branch Meyer's fault. It's not Gordon Boring's fault. He's blistered us in Sunday school for the last month, but as long as we're in 1 Corinthians, hey, better wear your big boy britches, you're going to get blistered. Son, come to Sunday school, he'll blister you too. Not him, but the Word. And if I'm in any of them conditions, Brother Danny White, it's not your fault. It's Mike's fault. I got another little song the Lord gave me. I'm going to premiere it on Father's Day, and I can't hardly wait because I can't sing it without crying. It sets my soul on fire. It may not do a thing for you, but it's going to help me. The personal condition of the bottle in the smoke. Here he is. He's dirty, dry, and defeated. I like 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Though this outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I may just be a bottle in the smoke, but I'm telling you what, he's a putting something... The more I read this book and listen to His Word and sing His songs, you know what He's doing? He's putting more on the inside than I got on the out. Now, this is going to help you right here. Oh, my. You're going to be late for lunch. I'm reading this, Jimmy. I've preached this thing upside down, sideways. I preached it the other night Your stone was a perfect illustration in some of this and some couple of things God gave me. But here's what He gave me this morning. You know what I tell you when you read Leviticus? What I tell you when you read Leviticus? Look for who on every page? Jesus. Look for Jesus on every page when you read Leviticus. You'll find Him there. Here's what I found in this morning. It wasn't just personal conviction. God said, look here. He said, here's what this is. This is a picture of Calvary. It changed my entire perspective on these verses right here. Listen. Number one, say, well, he wasn't dirty. He wasn't dirty. Oh yeah, he was. Now, he wasn't when he got there, but he became dirty on the cross. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Most of us don't become dirty by choice, but then sometimes we choose and become dirty by choice. But then, look here, Jesus chose to become dirty for everyone in this building. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, that's Him, and He became dirty for us. So we see the sin. Here's what we see. We see the suffering. What's in that? The dryness. So, well, he didn't get dry. Oh yeah, he did. Psalm 22 said like this. Said, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart like wax is melted into the midst of my bowels. He said, I'm dried out like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. I am brought down to the depths of death. In John 19, you know what he said? I thirst. Well, the God of heaven was manifest in the flesh, came down to Calvary, became sin for me, dried out for me, dried out for me. But bless God, we may see the sin, and we may see the suffering, but we see this, Brother Randall. You know what he said at the end? Here's what he said. The truth, he said, I do hope. Yet do I not forget thy statutes, thy law. You know what he done? He fulfilled the law. You know what that is? Praise God. He's redeeming us from the curse of the law. Therefore, here's what he is. He became the sin. He done the suffering. But my good friend, he done the saving. They said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Listen, don't look for it. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. If you get a terminal diagnosis this afternoon, you can take this to the bank if you're His. Praise God, He's already stepped through the water for you. And that little song that He gave me, that thought stirred me in my spirit. When I step on heaven's shore, He'll be there. He'll be there. I never called, and He wasn't there. I've needed Him in some situations of late pertaining to different things, and you know what? He was there. I'm going to quit right there. He'd be there. He's there for you this morning. Amen. You want an indicator that something's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You bunch get right around here, we shout this place down. That's what somebody said. That's an indicator of something being wrong. Here's when it's getting right. There ain't nothing right with me. I need some help. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. I don't sin. I'm wanting to know, when you going to do something about it, Lord? He said, I already have. I went to Calvary and I opened the window, the prayer line, praise God. You can come anytime you want to. But I won't make you come. So I just don't get blessed at church anymore like I used to. That's your fault. I went in down there Friday night and I couldn't walk. I don't know what happened to me. Pat said I ran the weed eater too long. I'd done that on Monday. It wouldn't took me to Friday to got down. Usually if I do something one day, the next day, if I've overdone it, I'm down the next day. I'm down. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if I slept wrong. I normally don't have back issues. I got a little lower degenerative going on. But I normally, I can just go with my back's not the problem. I got other problems. But when I got up, when Michael saw me Friday night walking to the car, he said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I can't hardly walk." "What happened?" And here's what the thing is, Dennis. I don't know what happened. If I knew what happened, I'd try not to do that again, but I don't know. I figured out at nearly 60, anything can happen. You just wake up and it's there. No, you boys are laughing. Just keep living, buckwheat. You're going to wake up one of these days and go, "Lord, that preacher was right." We got down there to the church. I walked in. Randy, his brother Randy, Sister Pam's there. He said, "You okay?" I said, "Man, I can't hardly move. I'm hurting bad." I sat down on the front seat, and the seats are a little short. Ask Michael about it. And I sat down on that seat, David, and I couldn't get comfortable. This Pentecostal group showed up down there to sing. That helped me. Here in a minute, I forgot I was hurting. They got to singing. I jumped up, waving my hand. I said, "Glory to God." Then I sat back down. And then I remembered I was hurting. "Oh, you're hurting. Oh, well, I forgot that I was there for just a minute. It went away." They got through singing. They said, "Come on, preacher, get up here and preach for us." And I got up there and I read my text. And that bunch of Pentecostals got with me. And I didn't just forget I wasn't hurting. I didn't hurt anymore. I just tell you, the hurting was gone. Say, what had to do with that? The Holy Ghost. I had nothing in my flesh. Nothing. Nothing. The Holy Spirit touched me in my body. And I'm telling you, they like to now on preach me to death. You know why it's so easy to preach at camp meeting? Because they're starving for it. They just want something to eat. Just feed me. So you can't work him up. I'm telling you what, I can't find where they felt like shouting before the wall fell. You want a biblical illustration? Somebody say, they're working stuff up. Let me tell you, the wall fell, and they wasn't in the Spirit out there walking around that thing. But the hallelujahs really begin to roll after the wall fell. Are you bottling the smoke today? He'll help you. And whatever you're facing, whatever it is, he'll help you. Come get the song, Randall, I'm through. I'm going to keep lingering here. He'll help you. He'll hear you. Listen, it's one thing to hear. It's another thing to help. He'll do both. If you'll call, he'll hear. "He hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore shall I call upon him as long as I shall live." Will he help me? Listen, "I'll lift mine eyes toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." When I needed help yesterday, I did not get a no, negative, or wait. I got help pretty quick. Stand with us. If you need to pray, you're welcome. Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.